Most respected ulama, ikram, elders and brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We find most things in this world have two dimensions. One is what meets the eye, what we see from the outside. And then there is an internal dimension to the item. External dimension, for example, will be the color, the form, the smell. And the internal will be the very core, the essence, the soul, the life, intrinsic qualities. A very easy example for us to understand is gold is very valuable. If we take one gold coin, about 60,000 rands fits in the palm of your hand. But what makes it gold is not just the color. If I take a silver coin, less than 1,000 rand, looks the same, just the color is different. And we spray paint it gold. Now if they look identical, it doesn't make it gold. What makes it gold is that it is a metal with specific qualities that makes it gold. Silver is different. So therefore the value becomes different. So it's not just the outer look. Find a mango, here we in Durban, in the December period, then we get mangoes on the trees. So the mango won't just be the look of the mango. It looks very nice, but it'll be the taste of it. That's what will make it a mango. Now in China, they're very, very good in manufacturing. So if someone says, I want a mango, sends a South African mango from his backyard and says, manufacture this, I want it in a plastic mold. So identical, it looks the same, like the one that's on his tree. But no one's going to eat it, no one's going to bite it. It got no smell, it got no taste, it got no seed, it got no flesh. It's just the outer appearance of the mango. Many of us went to the museum and we saw the lion in the museum. So that lion in the museum, perhaps it got the fur of the lion, the mane of the lion, maybe the teeth of the lion, but it doesn't have the soul and the ruh of the lion. So that lion that is there in the museum, no one is scared of it. A child will come and put his hand in the mouth of the lion. Someone will do some funny tricks in front of the lion and make his family laugh, because it's not a real lion. Take a real lion and put it there, and no one will be there then. Everybody will run away. So you find there are two dimensions, but what makes something of real value, what gives it its value, is not just the outer appearance. The real value is attached to the inner qualities. The soul, the ruh, being able to do its function from within. Likewise, we find a Muslim, there are two parts of a Muslim. One is the outer form of a Muslim. This is also in deen. This is also the teachings of Islam, that we have to have the outer form of a Muslim. But we find, unfortunately, many people have understood Islam only to be the outer form. Many people have understood that that is the end goal of Islam, that I must just look like a Muslim, that's it. And that is why we'll find a person is complaining and he will say that, see the man, he got such a big beard, we shouldn't pick on the beard. Just to digress, when we criticize people, we should never pick on the sunnah. Because if the person is doing one thing good, don't pick on the one thing good he is doing. He's doing 10 wrongs, he got that one good in his life. But I'm saying the mentality of people. They will say, look at this person, it doesn't make sense. If a person is wearing a kurta, has a beard, he's got a turban, and he's going and gambling in a casino. You see, it doesn't make sense. The outer doesn't match with the action. A woman is going, and we won't say now, it's happening unfortunately, with a niqab, with a hijab, going to a club and dancing. We know about all this, where it's happening also, in what places it's happening. Going and dancing in the niqab. So does it make sense? It doesn't make sense. But unfortunately, many people have limited their deen to the outer actions, outer appearance. But don't misunderstand, it's very important. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us how to wear a beard, how to dress. On the day of Friday, we will trim our moustache, we will clip our nails, unwanted hair. All this is part of Islam. It should not be trivialized. But we are saying that as an ummah, as a Muslim ummah, there is a need to make an effort on the soul of our Islam, on the ruh of our Islam. The whole world is looking at Islam in the museum, like that lion. They're not scared of that Islam, because that's not an Islam that has power in it. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, before we come to the point of discussion, they had few swords. Many people here seated perhaps went to Badr, went to Uhud. They had few swords, few conveyances, ill-equipped, very little means. But how long that battle lasted? Against an army more than three times their size, equipped to the teeth, came with the intentions that we will celebrate also, we're definitely going to win, we're going to mow them over, and afterwards we're going to celebrate also. They had their cheerleaders also. Everything was in place. They knew for sure we're going to win. So what made them win? How long that battle lasted? Did it go on for years? It was just 1 year, and then 2 years, and 3 years. And what numbers they had? They had the ruh. See, the ruh of Islam, they had it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, all of you go to bed. Tomorrow is a big day. It's a month of Ramadan. It's a month of Ramadan, 17th Ramadan. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is making dua, and he's crying, and he's making dua, and he's crying, and the whole night is going in dua, in privacy. Allah give me the tawfiq that we can cry like that for the ummah, in privacy, at length. We don't have the strength, but where possible, at length we give some time. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he said, beautiful words. Oh Allah, if this group is defeated tomorrow, oh Allah, there'll be no one left to take your name. How he cried to Allah. Then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came and said, Allah has heard, Allah has heard, Allah has heard. Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has heard you. And then the next day, Sahaba say, I lifted my sword to strike the neck. Before I could strike, the neck was rolling already, the head was rolling. Before I could strike, they had the ruh. Such a dua was made, such an effect was on the earth, that it shook the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The angels became restless. Today, beloved brothers, we have to look at what we are missing out. What is lacking in us? So there is an outer dimension, but an effort needs to take place on the inner dimension, on the core, on the intrinsic qualities of a Muslim, that we can stand up once again like the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. That this izzat can come in the ummah once again. Umar radiallahu anhu is walking, and there's a stream. He takes out his leather socks, puts it over his shoulders. Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu is observing him. He walks through the stream. He is the leader of 2/3 of the world. At times 17 patches of leather on his clothing. And where he's going to Aqsa. What he is going for? To collect the keys to Aqsa. He's going to collect the keys. And Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu said, this doesn't look right. The leader must have some shan. Now you're going like this. This is like a slave, a worker. How a slave and a worker behaves. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu got very, very upset with the statement of Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu. And he said, Allah, oh Abu Ubaidah, I didn't expect you, a person like you, who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَمِينُ وَأَمِينُ هَذِي الْأُمَّةِ أَبُو عُبَيْدَةَ إِبْنَ جَرَّاحِ. that every ummah had someone that stood out with his trustworthiness. And the trustworthy person that stands out with his trustworthiness is Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah. I didn't expect you to make a statement. I expected you to have a better understanding. And then he mentioned those golden words, "Inna kunna adhalla qawm." We were a downtrodden people. We were downtrodden people. We were the worst of people. We were worshipping idols. We were burying our daughters alive. We were killing each other. In Medina Sharif, Sahaba, Aus and Khazraj, they were fighting year-long battles. Nothing could unite them. فَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ Islam came, gave us unity, gave us izzat. If we're going to look for izzat and unity anywhere else, أَذَلَّنَ اللَّهُ Allah is going to make us dhaleel. Allah is going to make us downtrodden. We are going to lose that izzah in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the hadith says, غُثَاءٌ كَغُثَاءِ السَّيْلِ That you will be like filth that is floating on top of the flood. No value that is attached to it. Large in number, huge in number, but there's absolutely no value. Nobody wants it. Nobody cares about it. So once again, respected brothers, we need to do a review. We need to do a reflection. What is this review? That there's two dimensions. One is the outer dimension. Make effort for it. But together with making effort for the outer dimension of a Muslim, then make effort that how this inner qualities of Iman and Islam can come alive within me. When we look at Sahaba radiallahu anhum, then we find that they had perfected these both dimensions. In fact, Sahaba radiallahu anhum made a statement and they said, تَعَلَّمْنَا الْإِيمَانِ ثُمَّ تَعَلَّمْنَا الْقُرْآنِ First we learnt Iman. We find the laws of Islam that came much later. Salah came after Hijrat, or just before Hijrat. Fasting came after Hijrat. Many other laws came after Hijrat. For about one decade, the only thing Sahaba were learning was to correct this heart. The only thing Sahaba were learning was to correct the Iman, the thinking. I must think like a Muslim. When a person's heart and his mind is correct, then automatically his actions will be correct. So they had these qualities. That is why that level of sacrifice was so easy for them. So easy for them. They could sacrifice their wealth for deen. Today people are sacrificing their deen for wealth. They are sacrificing shariat, compromising shariat for wealth. That the end goal must be wealth, must be money. But Sahaba sacrificed their wealth for deen. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, make hijrat. Quran says, lil fuqara al muhajirin. Overnight they became faqir. They left their businesses, they left their homes, they left their family, they left their birthland, they left the Kaaba Sharif. Why? One command, make hijrat. No questions asked, leave. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at times asked for wealth, no questions asked, poorest of the poor Sahaba, they bring in whatever they got, they're giving it to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Suhaib Rumi, his life is amazing. He was a slave. He was captured, original Arab. He wasn't a Roman. He was an Arab originally. But they were captured and taken away of slaves. Young boy growing up as a slave. Long story, he came back. He was emancipated. He was free. Now he's a Muslim. Known as Suhaib Rumi, the Roman. He wants to make hijrat. Intercepted. In the end, what he says, all my wealth that I have saved up, my slave girls, whatever I have, take it, just allow me free, open, peaceful passage to Medina. For what? They sacrifice their wealth to fulfill Allah's command. They sacrifice their wealth to fulfill Allah's command. My ustad, he says, when we do qurbani, we're sacrificing sheep. But he said, many are not prepared to sacrifice their sleep to fulfill Allah's command. Many are not prepared. To sacrifice the sheep is easy. But to sacrifice our sleep every day for the Fajr Salah. Now this is Iman. That Imani quality, that daily, what do you call it? Jihad. This is a daily jihad. It's not just a figment of a person's imagination. This is a daily jihad that will draw Allah's mercy. That daily I must be an obedient slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum had it. Abdullah bin Huzafa radiallahu anhu. Stories are inspirational, brothers. But it's to bring about some change, some understanding. Abdullah bin Huzafa in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu is captured. And he's captured by the Romans. And the Roman king or the Caesar is told that here we have a Sahabi as a prisoner. So nowadays we say, you know what, we captured the main army general, for example. The main man, we got him. So in that time, you have a Sahabi as a prisoner. That was a very prized prisoner. So he said, call him, call him. Nowadays also, and that time also, the whole object was that how we can snatch the iman away. Nothing else. We want the iman. So let me see how I can get this, how I can drop him by dropping his iman. Now remember, the tarbiyat of sahaba were made by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were solid. One gaze at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with iman made them sahaba. All the awliya can't reach that level. All the awliya put together can't reach the level of one sahabi. So Hazrat Abdullah bin Huzafa radiallahu anhu, he comes in front of the Roman king. So the Roman king says to him, I got an offer for you. I got a deal for you. I got a princess here. White skin, as we say. Blue eyes, blonde hair. The other day I was telling the students in a madrasa, the topic came up, nikah. So I said, the hadith says that a woman is married for her beauty. She is married for her wealth. She is married for her status. These are factors that people look at that attract them. But the hadith says, فَظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ. You must look for a woman that got deen in her. Because that is what will last. I got one case now. Youngster phones me in the morning, this morning. He says, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Give me some guidance. And we have found this to be a common feature. That a man has a very, very stunning, beautiful wife. She can't be loyal to him. She's getting invitations from other places also. The moment he's away and shaitan plays and she becomes disloyal. This man went for a nikah. He was away for a while. And in that time, his wife was busy with someone else. فَظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ. You're getting married for the wealth. You're getting married for the looks. You're getting married for the status. That's going to disappoint you. If that is there, no problem, but the deen must be there. Deen must be the main factor. Taqwa must be there. So he gave her, he said, see her. He gave him, he said, see her, I got white skin, blue eyes, blonde hair for you. Plus, I'll give you wealth, I'll give you my whole kingdom. Abdullah bin Huzafa radiallahu anhu said, you can give me your kingdom. You can give me the whole Arab kingdom. You can give me your daughter. And you can tell me, just for 1 second leave your iman, I'm not prepared. That is iman. Just for 1 second, unwavering. You think a person like that will break any law of Allah Ta'ala's command? When such people raise their hands, they are awliya. That is a wali of Allah. That is a friend of Allah. Brothers, all of us are Allah's friends. Quran says, Allahu waliyu alladhina amanu. Allah is a friend of those that have iman, but there's different darajat. There's different levels. Some friends will phone you in the middle of the night, you'll leave everything, you'll jump out of bed, and you're ready for them. Because of that loyalty, you see? The loyalty. Some friends are your friends, but they're not on that level. So we need to build that friendship with Allah. He said, you can give me everything. 1 second, I'm not prepared to leave my iman. Long story, brothers, time is up. But he had that internal qualities of iman. So in the end, when the king wanted to kill him, so he started to cry. So the king said, now you prepared to accept iman. He said, now I am more firm and I am more ready to give my life for Allah, not to accept your deen, sorry, not to accept your Christianity. So then, he said, why are you crying then? He said, I'm crying because I got only one jaan and one life, and so quickly it's just gonna go like that for Allah. I wish I had lives equal to the number of hair on my body, so I can give for my Allah one after the other, one after the other, one after the other. This is a cheap bargain. Just like that I get shahadat, I go into Jannah. It's very cheap. My beloved brothers, when this iman is made from inside, then we find that the actions outside will be correct, and then we find that the decrees that will be made from the heavens also will be in our favor. That is the need of the time. So the ulama say, what should we do to make effort on the iman? One is that we must be in the right places, in the environments of iman, in the company of the pious, in the masajid, number one. Number two, in our homes. We have to create an environment of iman. We are so busy. Some of us, we leave home, we don't see our children. We come home, our children are sleeping. And that goes on for days. If I think properly, I never sit with my son and talk to him. I never sit with my daughter and talk to her. Leave making effort on the iman. Our ulama are saying that it's such a treacherous time that the environment has been made such that your child's iman is in danger. You are responsible at home to create an environment of ta'aleem, of discussion, where you can correct your children's iman. You can correct them. And they say dua. Such dua we have to be making, fervent dua for the protection of our iman and the iman of our progenies. We are seeing good families. The children are coming home with funny ideologies, having doubts about Islam and iman. This is happening in our communities. We're not talking about now overseas, and we're talking about this day and age. Going on the internet, having severe doubts about iman, severe doubts about Islam. Our children, dua has to be made. And we have to stay away from technology, brothers. This AI, artificial intelligence, maybe the adults, the big people don't know about it, we're very busy. But the youngsters know too much about it. They know about all the apps. That has become the sheikh. That has become, na'uzubillah, even the girlfriend also. Everything is happening on artificial intelligence on the phone. Even AI is a mufti for some of them. Giving them guidance and hidayat, guiding them. What type of guidance? What type of guidance? So my beloved friends, we have to make an effort. Allah Ta'ala has given us an opportunity. Just down the road, the ijtima will be taking place next week on the 8th, 9th and 10th. That is one environment we can take our youngsters, take our boys, take our youngsters, take them to that environment, sit in that environment in the talks, and listen what is to be said, and recharge our iman. And make some decision with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, I want my iman to become strong. I want the iman of my family to be protected till the day of Qiyamah. And see what effort we can make so that when we leave this world, we leave, Allah ta'ala is happy with us. We are happy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have some confidence, inshallah, that our children will take this deen and iman and they will take it forward. May Allah ta'ala protect our children, protect us, protect our iman, keep us firm with iman. Give us death with iman and raise us with iman on the day of Qiyamah. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah.